Welcome back to the Wake Up Call. It's 34 minutes past the hour, and we are joined by Dom Amore from the Hartford Current. Dom, longtime reporter for the Current, member of the Baseball Writers Association, author of a great book, by the way. If you haven't read it, I suggest you pick it up. It's called Franchise on the Rise, the First 20 Years of the New York Yankees. It came out this summer. Really good book. But I didn't bring him on to talk about that. I brought him on because he's recently been doing some work on Jim Calhoun's return to coaching at 76 years of age. First of all, Dom, good morning. How are you, my friend?
Great, Gene. How you doing? Thanks for having me.
I'm doing good. Hey, listen, before we get to Coach Calhoun and actually coaching, the one thing I took away from him joining St. Joseph's was that it was absolute genius on the part of AD Bill Cardarelli and University of President Rona Free. I mean, a small school like that in Connecticut, starting admitting men for the first time, and you hire one of the highest-profile coaches in major college basketball in the last 25 or 30 years, they couldn't afford to buy the amount of publicity that they're going to get for this.
No, I mean, it was an absolute stroke of genius. No other way to describe it. You know, and I use the analogy that I used at the time and still do is that being here in New Haven, you know, Albertus Magnus went co-ed probably 20, 25 years ago. And there are a lot of people in New Haven, even, who still think that it's an all-female school, even though they have a very, very good basketball program that's been successful. But, I mean, rebranding yourself, just to try to rebrand yourself as co-ed, takes time. And for them to bring Jim Calhoun in to launch a men's basketball program, it's like it just everyone knew immediately, hey, this is their co-ed now. So it, from every standpoint, the school needed to get more income. They needed more enrollment, and they exceeded all of their expectations for the first year of male enrollment and added female enrollment. So it's been an absolute win-win situation all the way around.
What Jim is doing is it's really kind of unprecedented, Dom. I mean, big-time Division I coaches have moved on and coached again, sometimes at smaller mid-major type schools. The closest thing I could come up with is when Raleigh Massimino coached for his last 10 or 11 years at an NAIA school in Florida.
Yeah.
Do you get the sense that Jim really realizes what he's doing, that how rare what he's doing is?
You know, I think he's just doing it, you know, one day at a time. I think it's just about, you know, enjoying his time one day at a time. And this is something that intrigued him. He thought he could have a lot of the fun and the things he enjoys about coaching without the high pressure, high stress, and maybe some of the things that he can't do at this age. So it really was a good fit. But yeah, I'm sure he's aware of what Raleigh was doing at Northwoods down in Florida. You know, Jim O'Brien made a comeback at Emerson for a few years, kind of put that program on the map. There are a few guys who've done it. Excuse me. But I think for him, it's just about enjoying his life day to day.
And I guess at the end of the day, when you think about it, basketball is basketball. And when he obviously had an itch and couldn't stand being away from the game. So at the end of the day, it may be less pressure, but it's still the same game. The court is the same size. The ball is the same size. So there really is no difference in terms of that.
Yeah, and I think he's going to be dealing with kids who will respond better to him because they're not necessarily kids who think that they're already NBA ready.
Right.
Kids who know that they have a lot to learn. They know that they're not necessarily in school just for basketball. They know that they can really reap some experience and benefits that will last them the rest of their lives. So I think he's dealing with kids that, you know, that should, you know exactly, you know, what they're getting in for. And I think he's going to make them better. I think he'll make them better students and better, you know, better people. And he'll, you know, teach them some discipline and some commitment and some good life lessons. So I just think, again, I just think it's a great way for him. I mean, when I first heard it, and I know a lot of people thought, "Well, is he crazy?" But
I was one of them.
I thought it was a hell of an idea, not only for the school, of course, but for him, because I just knowing him, I thought it would just be. I just thought it'd be the perfect thing for him to be able to coach again and enjoy coaching, enjoy developing kids, and again without kind of the rat race that, you know, high major, you know, is. The other thing I was concerned about, one thing he says frequently, and he used to say all the time when he was at UConn, is that he loves big games and hates little ones.
Right.
And I thought that maybe he would get bored with it.
Right.
But I really don't think he is. I think he threw himself into this challenge. You know, I ran into a guy who was an assistant coach at a prep school that told me, you know, this guy came to our place 9 times.
Right.
In a couple of months. And he went everywhere. Choate, Hotchkiss, Putnam Science, on Woodstock, which is up by where he lives, you name it. He went to every prep school in southern New England, central southern New England, to look at players and look at them a number of times and kind of handpick the team that he wanted. He really threw himself into this. This is not, he's not kind of managing from, you know, a watchtower while maybe Glenn Miller or all the other assistants do all the legwork. He's doing a lot of the legwork. I mean, they're handling some of the nuts and bolts and administrative stuff. And you know Jim's not going to drive the van, right? A lot of division coaches, Division III coaches,
right,
do.
Right.
But, you know, but he's taking it very seriously as only he can.
Well, look, we've all seen the way he can be on the sidelines.
Yep.
We know he's fiery. He's intense. His language can be, shall we say, colorful.
Right.
He's now at a Catholic school. So
yep.
Obviously he's got to be aware of that. I mean, have you seen him make a conscious effort to change that, to temper his mannerisms a little bit?
Well, it's only been the one game. They've only had the one game at,
Dom, we've seen how he can be in practice.
In practice. Yeah. You know what? It's only been a handful of practices. He's recovering from an abdominal surgery.
Right.
So he hasn't quite had all of his energy.
Okay.
You know, Glenn Miller kind of ran the first handful of practices. So it's hard for me to say that he's tempered anything. My guess is that he won't, except for just the fact that he's now 76 and may not have quite the energy that he had at 56. But
right.
The fact is, I think we all know that when you hire Jim Calhoun, you hire Jim Calhoun. And I'm sure that, you know, people are going to be ready with earplugs or whatever they need to kind of overlook things. The thing I would be a little bit concerned about, particularly after the first game, when you know there'll be a big crowd,
yep,
at Trinity, is that you start playing games in the small gym at St. Joe's or some of these small gyms that they're going to be going to around New England, where there may only be a handful of people, a couple hundred people in the stands. You're going to be able to hear him. Everyone in the building,
yes,
is going to be able to hear him.
Yes.
Not just the people sitting right behind the bench. So,
right.
You know, my guess is that he'll tone it down and be appropriate. I mean, he'll still be fiery. He'll still motivate kids the way he motivates kids.
Right.
But my guess is that he'll adapt to the situation, to the extent that he can.
Look, we all know he's had a lot of health issues in recent years.
Mm-hmm.
He and his wife, Pat, are an incredible team, both on and off the court.
Yeah.
I mean, she supports so many of the things that he does. And you, yep, made mention of this in your story. She doesn't like giving interviews. But I get,
right,
the sense from your story, it sounds like she's all in on this. Like, she doesn't have any hesitation with this.
Well, I think she might have at first. I think she, again, 6 years into post-UConn life, 6 years into retirement, I'm not sure that she felt it was best for him.
Right.
Or that she felt, but I think, sometimes you realize, I can't speak, obviously, for Pat. I certainly can't speak for Jim. But I just, going by my own experiences and people I know, I've known people, and you probably have too, Gene, who may have health problems, and you think, boy, they work too hard. They should slow down. They,
right,
should lower the stress a little bit. And after a while, you realize that they can't do that. That if they slow down, if they don't have the work occupying their time, then that's where they start to have the health problems.
Right.
So I think sometimes, it's better for someone who has some health issues to be throwing himself or herself into work, because that's something that keeps them healthy. And I know, even for me, I feel a lot more stress personally when I don't really have anything to do.
Right.
Because I feel like, okay, maybe I'm not, I should be doing something, or maybe I'm going to become irrelevant, or whatever the case may be. So I feel much better physically when I'm working hard. And maybe my sense that Jim is wired similarly, that working is actually helpful to whatever health issues he has.
You know, one other thing he did, and you've mentioned his name already, but the other thing that's going to help him out a lot was his former right-hand man at UConn, having Glenn Miller with him there. And Glenn's a guy who's played high school basketball here in Connecticut at Fitch High School. He's coached at the Division III level at Conn College, so he can probably help Coach Calhoun out a little bit with some of the expectations of Division III if he wasn't really aware of them. My question to you is this, is do you get the sense that that this is kind of a Jim Calhoun starts it, Glenn Miller takes over kind of thing? Or is this just like you said, a day by day and we'll see what happens? Because Glenn may have aspirations to get back to the Division I level again.
Well, that would be the thing. I think it's something that, right now Glenn was looking for a job. This job was here and he's enjoying himself also. I mean, I think he's enjoying himself more than he thought he would. I did think Glenn has aspirations to get back to a Division I level, perhaps to be a head coach again at that level. I don't think that's off the table. But I do think that if that doesn't come to pass, that when the time comes, Jim will be ready to hand the torch over to him. It's really a great spot for Glenn. As you mentioned, having him there now is indispensable because he knows the Division III landscape, at least fairly recently, and can help Jim with the rules and what you can and can't do at the Division III level, and knows some of the at least the histories of some of the schools that they're going to be playing. But yeah, I would say that kind of scenario, Gene, is in place if it's needed, if it needs to happen.
Okay.
But I wouldn't necessarily etch it in stone that it's going to happen.
Okay. Well, one of the other things that's going to be kind of cool there, and again, for St. Joe's, this is a great thing. Much like we saw when Howie Dickerman was at Central Connecticut State, the UConn fan base is incredibly loyal to that family.
Right.
And so there is no doubt in my mind that they will draw well at St. Joseph's when UConn isn't playing, because a lot of those people will come to support Jim Calhoun in West Hartford.
Absolutely. I was talking about this with someone at the game on Sunday that, if you think about it, if you want to go see a basketball game on a Sunday afternoon or a weeknight or whatever, and UConn's not playing, you're going to be much more apt to go watch, St. Joe's and Jim Calhoun, especially if you haven't been there already, then you might be to go to one of the other games in the area where you don't really know anybody and
right.
You don't really know the names. And if you think about it, where St. Joe's is, I mean, they could get a few hundred people just from the neighborhood who walk in.
True.
Who walk there from Asylum Avenue. A lot of people live very close by. So I think it's a natural. I think given that, what would be a small crowd elsewhere would be a huge crowd in Division III, especially a startup program, I think they're going to do extremely, extremely well.
Well, and you mentioned the fact that, if Jim Calhoun's not there, you're not at that gym for their exhibition game the other day. And also, the other part of the media is now all of a sudden St. Joseph's is going to get radio coverage because their home games are going to be on the radio. I mean, again,
that's amazing, isn't it?
And the only reason I saw that Joe D had the thing on Twitter that they were going to have the home games on, I was absolutely floored. I mean, that's unbelievable, right. Unbelievable, and what a great thing for them.
Yeah, 50,000-watt radio station for
Division III. For a D3. I'd venture to say it's the only D3 program in the country that's got a 50,000-watt station on their side.
I mean, it may be the only one that's even on the radio at all. But no, it really is. It's going to be a phenomenon for a period of time. And, they're going to build a new gym on campus. That's in the works. And I do think Jim would like to coach long enough
to
coach in the new gym.
Okay.
I think that's kind of his unofficial goal.
Okay.
But the minute that he got hired and And I walked in there, you know, I gave the old Chief Brilliant line from Jaws, you're going to need a bigger gym.
With
Jim Calhoun coaching, and they will. But, think about what his first real game is going to be like, the regular season opener on the 9th at Trinity College, where they're going to play, because they know they're going to have more.
Yep.
And they're probably going to have, I'm sure they'll have a couple of thousand people there at least.
Yep.
And, you know, you can, I would surmise that ESPN will be there, and possibly some New York or Boston media will be there, and everybody in Connecticut, the TV stations, everyone will be there. And that would never be the case. Even as a startup Division III program might draw some curiosity, but this is going to draw so much more. And again, it gets, in terms of recruiting, I think he's going to have the ability of pulling kids that no other coach would be able to do.
Yep.
I mean, what coach could sell a Division III program at a school that, until a couple of months ago, didn't even have male students to basketball players?
Yeah.
So I'm sure he's got a level of talent that they never would have had otherwise. And the ability to launch a program with some degree of success to kind of get it started. So it really was all the way across the board. I think it's going to be a success. You just hope that his health does hold up, and that he's able to see it through, at least, you know, to his satisfaction.
Well, it's certainly going to be fascinating to watch. Hey, look, before I let you go, I have to get your reaction on the World Series. You spent a lot of time in that Fenway press box. You know what kind of expectations the fans and the media has for that team. What in the hell are they possibly going to do for an encore after what they did this year, especially considering the young firepower the Yankees have if they stay healthy? I mean, how are they going to satisfy those people up in Boston after what they did this year?
Well, you know, Gene, I think the one thing that's remarkable to me about what the Red Sox have done, and I don't think it's gotten discussed enough, is that, you know, they've won four championships in 15 years or so with three different managers, three different general managers, which is very unusual, and obviously really four completely different casts of players. There are only a handful of guys that played on two. Or three of them. No one played on all four. I don't think they had anybody from 13 on this.
Bogarts.
Group.
Bogarts was the only one.
Yeah, Bogarts.
Yep.
So they've been able to. It really is a testament to the owner's willingness and ability to make unpopular decisions when they have to, make bold decisions. You know, they're not content to say this person won for us in the past or this person was successful in the past, so we're going to stay with them or give them another couple of years. When they feel it's time to make changes, they do. And because they've had this success, of course, the fans will support it. And they're not afraid also to try a different approach. And if it doesn't work, I mean, they've had some washouts, to admit a mistake and change course. So I think that their ownership is very nimble and very smart and knows how to stay ahead of the curve. And that's going to, I think that as long as that ownership is in place, it's going to keep them in the hunt and maybe never more than a few years away from a championship. I mean, in terms of the Yankees, you know, the Yankees have to stick to their plan and not worry about the Red Sox. They shouldn't go off the rails and bring in another 10-year, $300 million guy. They've already got, you know, one too many of those, in my opinion. But the thing that's, I think, kind of neat about the Yankees-Red Sox rivalry now is that both teams have a core of young, homegrown players.
Right.
And the fans, I think, are more proud of their players than maybe they were in the days when both teams had a lot of kind of free agent mercenary types. And it almost has like a high school rivalry feel to it. It's like our kids against their kids.
Right.
So I think the whole Yankee-Red Sox thing is going to be a whole lot of fun in the next 5 years, and I don't think either team is going to disappear from the radar, because again, they both have a lot of young talent that's under control for a few years contractually. So, you know, I think again, you don't win championships every year, but the Red Sox are going to be in the hunt for years to come.
Well, Dom, listen, thanks very much. I really appreciate you coming on, and it's going to be a lot of fun to follow Coach Calhoun during the course of the year. And I know that that I'm sure you'll be there when you can. I know you'll be at UConn a lot, but we'll look forward to following that all year. So thanks for a few minutes this morning. Really appreciate it.
Great. Yeah, great. Yeah, you got it, Gene. Thanks for having me.
All right. Dom Amore here on Sports Country Radio. And as I said, it's going to be a lot of fun to watch Jim Calhoun. I think it was, and you heard Dom, he agrees, it may be one of the smartest things that a small school like that has ever done to hire Jim Calhoun. They are going to be able to get publicity that they could never afford. And I've been there. I've done some freelance work for them at times. I've known Bill Cardarelli, the athletic director, for a long time. The only thing, and I didn't ask Dom about this, but I wish I had. And I wonder if the people at St. Joseph really know what's coming their way. This is a place that I don't believe they have a full-time sports information director. Or they didn't last time I knew. It's a small gym. It's a small department, and the amount of work that is going to come their way with the publicity and the request that they're going to have for Jim Calhoun is going to be something that most Division III programs, or I would venture to say no Division III program in the United States right now, has to deal with. So it'll certainly be fun to watch. But again, thanks, Dom, for coming on, and we'll keep up with that as the season goes along.